Hallelujah. Turn to page 272 if you would. I came this morning to get my cup filled. In fact, I just don't want my cup filled. I want it running over. I want it spilling into the saucer. I want more than I can contain this morning. I told Brother Nathan downstairs, I need a Holy Ghost shower. I need washed with the water of the Word. I'm hungry for Jesus this morning. I hope you came that way too. Start with the chorus. Fill my cup. Hoover's leading the singing, so we're going to learn a new chorus. Pray for Brother Josh. He learned this about 10 minutes ago out on the front porch out here. But I went to camp, up to Brother Sievert's camp in Fortville, Indiana this week, and Tuesday I got to get reacquainted with quite a few folks, and some of them didn't know that I was attending church here, and so I got a chance to share that with them. And about three or four of them asked me, said, "What is it about Brother Nathan's church that you like?" And I got to talking to them about how the Lord had healed my soul, how that I came here and just felt like that the salve of the Holy Spirit was just applied. And I found myself three or four times telling them this little phrase that this song talks about. I said, "You know, it's just good sometimes to be able to sit and have the Holy Spirit pour the oil and the wine in you and heal you." I haven't sung this song for probably 40 years. We used to sing it back in Pentecost all the time. So you just worship. If you don't know it, here it is, real simple. "And he poured in the oil and the wine, the kind that restoreth my soul. He found me bleeding and dying on that Jericho road, and he poured in the oil and the wine." Real simple. You'll be able to worship to it, okay? "And he poured in the oil and the wine, oh, the kind that restoreth my soul. He found me bleeding be a good time to shake hands with your neighbor. Well, he poured in the oil and the wine. It's the those people was asking him, he was going to say, because our musicians can play an E flat, but amen. Amen. God bless you this morning. Good to be in church again together. I wanted to announce again, we've got quite a few lost and found items that are down on the kitchen counter, and if they aren't collected, a lot of them have been in there for months, so if they aren't collected today, they're going to go to Goodwill. So if you think there's any chance that you're missing anything, please go down there and check after service. Also wanted to share a few testimonies. Brother David, Andy's uncle, Guy Gillis, is doing better after the brain surgery. He's walking and getting around and things like that, so praise the Lord for that. And Sister Asteris, she's home from surgery and recovering, so I want to continue to remember her in prayer for continued recovery, and also Brother Guy for continued recovery. And Brother Layton gave me an update that Brother Anthony Calderon is off life support and breathing on his own now, so praise the Lord for that. They said Thursday he was so bad they sent in a chaplain, but by Friday he was eating, so praise the Lord for that. And want to pray for continued recovery for him. Brother Furman and Sister April, they're traveling. Want to remember them in prayer. And Josie Soderquist, the doctors think she has strep throat, so want to remember her in prayer. Sister Tina Bryant, she's recovering from an infection, so want to remember her in prayer. Sister Neighbor, she's not feeling well. And Sister Vera says a dear friend of theirs from Texas passed away, and she's requesting prayer for the family. So I want to remember that situation in prayer. How many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each one. Brother Stephen, would you come this morning and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests?
Greetings, saints. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, it's such a privilege to be here this morning in your house. There's no other place I'd rather be at this moment than here with you and with your saints, the people that you've provided for us to fellowship with and to encourage each other and to help each other. Lord, we've heard the requests and we've heard the praise reports, and we just want to thank you for all that you've done for us. Lord, these people are, some of them are hurting financially or physically. Lord, we just pray that you'd send your presence, your Holy Spirit, that comforter to them. Lord, that they might receive their healing, that they might receive their deliverance, that they might receive their answers that they've been searching for. And Lord, for us now, Lord, how I love to be a Christian. What more, Lord, could we attain to in this life than to serve you? To draw close to you. And Lord, I'm so thankful that it's not me and my strength or me and myself that has to do these things, but Lord, it's just dying to myself that I might come alive in you, Lord. And Lord, for this service, we have needs, spiritual needs, different things we need, Lord. We know your prophet said we should pray for revelation more than anything. Lord, I just pray that you'd open the word to our hearts that we might understand what you have, and that it might sink down as a revelation to us. Lord, whether it be Brother Nathan or Brother Branham via the tape, We just looking forward to your word. And we just pray that we die out a little more to ourselves and come a little more alive in you, Lord. Lord, you can open up the floodgates and you can do anything this morning. We just invite you to come and have your way in this service, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning once again, saints. We'll be reading the second chapter of Psalm this morning. Shouldn't take us but about two or three more years to get through it. Not the second chapter, the whole Psalm. Second chapter of Psalm this morning. It said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, and this day have I begotten thee.
Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession.
Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. God bless you. Please be seated.
This time we have a special by the Leightons.
I was asked last week if we'd sing this, and then the people that ask us to sing us aren't here. So we're going to sing it anyway. But we're singing it for him, and trust him, bless your heart.
Four days late, and all is gone. but His way is God's way. It's not yours or mine. Isn't it great when He's 4 days late? He's still. Said Martha, show me the grave. What she said, Lord, you don't understand. He's been there 4 days. The gravestone was rolled back. Come forth. Then somebody said, He's alive, He's alive. Now you may be fighting a battle of fear. You cry to the Lord, I need you now, but He has not appeared. Friend, don't be discouraged, 'cause He's still the same. He'll soon be here, and He'll roll back the stone, and He'll call out your name. When He's 4 days late, and all hope is gone, Lord, we don't understand why You've waited so long. But His way is God's way.
sure that you can reach me too. And as I pray and press my way into your kingdom true, how would it be more like you just by reaching out to you?
This is a song I've sung before, and I've had several requests for it again. So we're going to try it again. The little song, Hallelujah, 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 you praised ye the Lord. And I see a lot of smiles on your faces. Yes, I would like to sing it again. And I will need a helper this time, a volunteer. And I think I saw Brother Luke. Would you volunteer this time? Brother Luke, come on up here, would you please? I think it'd be a good one. Okay, they've got a microphone for you over there. And what you're going to have to do is, I'll be on the other side of the pulpit now. See? Okay, now I will handle the ones. I'll be leading the ones. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And Brother Luke will praise ye the Lord's. Okay, now for the first time we sing this, let's all sing it together once, shall we? Hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, hallelujah, praise.
All of those young people, I'd like to know who they are, that they say they're the young people of the church, those that are 30 years of age and younger. Is that what they call them now? The ones that come to the youth services on Thursday nights. Let's see your hands. Raise your hands, all those that do that, that come. Okay, now that you got your hands up, I'd like to have you all stand. You all are going to be the first ones. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujahs. And then you all sit down and the others will stand up. And if you can't stand up, just raise your hand. Okay? But I would like to see him stand up as much as you can. Okay, let's start. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Sit down too, brother?
No. Could you hang on to that just a minute? Well, I turned around over here. Let's try that again. The young people again, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You all will sit down this time, and we're going to have the others who were supposed to stand up. Stand up this time. So, Brother Luke, remember, you have praise ye the Lord. Okay, all of the older people now, stand up. Stand up. If you can't stand up, raise your hand. Okay. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Okay, shall we try a different way now? Just the ladies. The ladies and the gentlemen. The ladies will be first. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujahs. And the gentlemen, your brothers, you had to come in real strong now with praise ye the Lord, okay? Are we ready?
Brother Luke's not standing up and sitting down, right?
Oh. He doesn't have a chair.
I'm not doing it.
Are we ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay. The ladies first. Ladies, everybody from age 2 all the way up, you, if you're the ladies too, all everybody's, okay, all your girls, the ladies too. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Okay, some of us get mixed up, but that's all right. Everybody stand now. We're all going to sing it together again. And thank the Lord. We all want to praise the Lord for what he's done for us. Everybody has a testimony, I'm sure, of what the Lord has done for them, especially in this last week. I know he's done something tremendous. I was able to use Ezekiel 16:6. How many know what that means? It worked on me.
Amen.
4 times in 1 week.
Amen.
I just praise. And my Bible, by the way, has proof of it. It has some blood on my Bible, so it's a reminder. So I had a nosebleed, and they just put me on Xarelto just recently as a blood thinner, and they told me that if you have a nosebleed, be careful because it it's a blood thinner. You all know what happens. So if you don't know what Ezekiel 16:6 means, maybe someday the pastor will tell us more about it, but it is a true saying. Let's all sing it. Hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Praise.
Aren't you glad that we have Christian aerobics? He is wonderful, isn't he? There's no one, there's just no one like Jesus. I don't know what you came expecting this morning. I don't know what your need is, but I do know that the God that can take care of that need is here this morning. We've rejoiced. We've had fun. Now we're going to turn our hearts to the Word. This is the main course coming up right here. This is why I'm here. Because Jesus Christ is going to come down, fill this room, and he's going to speak to your individual need. He's going to come right down this aisle and stop at your pew and step in there to where you're sitting and he's going to take care of that need that you haven't been able to handle, that you haven't, you don't even know that there is a solution. You can't even imagine how God could handle what you're facing right now. But the miracle working God is here. And he loves you. And he wants to take care of that need in your life. If you want to sing along with this, it's page 603. It's downstairs this morning, and this just came on my heart. You just worship the Lord as Brother Nathan comes with the word.
There's a miracle in the making, one just for you, the Father is working even now. Your prayers have been heard, and your answer's on its way. Sing it again together. Oh, there's a miracle. It's in the making. Oh, there's one just for you. The Father is working.
This morning. Amen. Thank you, musicians. Certainly appreciate our musicians this morning. And I'm just going to touch briefly. This wasn't part of the sermon, but Brother Lauren had mentioned it. Ezekiel 16:6, if you read it, it says, "When I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live." Now, I had never really known what that scripture was until a few years ago. I was preaching at the storefront, and my nose just started bleeding everywhere in the middle of the sermon. And Brother Layton came up, and he said, "I don't want to be out of order," but he said that Brother Billy Paul had shared with him that Brother Bram told the family that if there was ever somebody that was having any type of a bleed, to read that scripture three times and to pray over him. And I said, "No, that's fine, brother. You go right ahead." So he read the scripture three times and prayed, and the bleeding stopped just like that. And since that time, we've had just, I don't even know how many nosebleeds and things at the church, different people that have called for prayer that has happened actually at the church. I think Brother Matthew Hamby was parking cars for us one service for special meetings, and he had one and prayed for him, and it stopped immediately. And my wife has had several. She called me even when I was still working at Mercer. She called me several times and had me pray for her over the phone, different ones. I know Sister Tina and different ones. My wife, she had filleted her finger open one time, just blood spraying everywhere, and we was running late for church, and she just grabbed a paper towel and put around it. And as I was driving, I just quoted that scripture from memory and prayed for her, and she began to cry. And I said, "What's wrong? Does it hurt?" And she said, "No, it's gone." And she literally watched the skin as it folded back over during the prayer, and you couldn't pull it open. It wasn't there. And just a few moments before, it had been just a deep gash. Sister Savannah, her grandfather had a brain bleed, and we had just had a word of prayer that they had called, and we'd read that in his behalf and prayed, and they released him from the hospital the next day, said the brain bleed was gone. And so sisters with female troubles and different things like that we've prayed that over and just be fine. So God's still God. You say, I don't understand that, Brother Nathan. How does that work? I don't know how it works. I just know it works. Amen. Faith in God's word and obedience to it. So Brother Lauren found out it works. Amen. God bless you this morning. Well, Brother Stephen didn't know, but in his prayer, he kept referring over and over and over to what I'm preaching on this morning with the help of the Lord. He kept talking about dying out to ourselves. And I want to speak to you this morning on living like a dead man. And let's turn to Romans chapter 6 and verse 5. We've got a couple sisters from Johnson City with us this morning, and they was here over the weekend for Brother Wes's services, and they had stayed Wednesday night to hear me preach, and I didn't preach Wednesday night, so now they've stayed again. So I don't think I've ever had anybody stick around town to hear me preach. Usually they're running out of town to get away from me. But Romans chapter 6, verse 5. "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin." Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne again this morning, Lord, I just ask that you would come on the scene for us. Lord, may you move in a way that only you can, Father. May you just take complete control of this service, Lord Jesus. And we just want to give you preeminence, Father. Lord, I just commit this into your hands, Lord. You know I'm an adequate Father, but Lord, you're, Father, more than adequate. You're able, Lord, to speak to the needs. Lord, as Brother Hoover spoke earlier, Lord, about those that have needs, God doing something supernatural and speaking specifically to their needs. Father, we recognize that a man can't do that in his own, Father, but that it takes you to come on the scene and speak to hearts. Lord, we just commit this entire service into your hands. Lord, every word that is spoken, every song that's sang, Lord, we thank you for the special singing that we've had. And Lord, for Brother Hoover leading us in worship. And as we enter into the word, Lord, may we just draw a little closer to you and learn a little bit more about you, Father. Lord, we thank you for these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated. Brother Andrew, I hope I don't embarrass you this morning, but I had this on my heart to do, and I thought about even getting a cot and putting it right out here and having Brother Andrew come and lay on it, and then I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. But then I saw what he was wearing this morning. I'm going to have you come up here, Brother Andrew.
All right.
And we don't have a cot, but I'm just going to have you lay right on this pew.
All right.
Maybe cross your hands on your chest like this for a little while and just make yourself right at home. We're looking at this thought of living like a dead man. Brother Branham says this in Shalom in 1964. He says, "Do you think a woman laying in her casket will want to know whether she had her hair waterdewed or whatever you want to call it? Do you think she would pay attention to how she was dressed if she was laying in a casket or some man? They wouldn't do it." Now, Paul said, if we're dead, then sin has no more control over us. Once you're dead, the temptations of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the desires of the flesh, it has no hold over you anymore. It's just a dead body laying there. But we're supposed to already be dead.
Right.
We're supposed to be dead to the things of the world. Now, a dead man, when he's laying there and you walk up to the casket, you can't provoke him. You can't pick a fight with him. You know, there's not much you can do. He's not going to respond to anything that you do. You can't upset a dead man. He's not easily provoked. You can talk about his mama or his daddy, or you can talk about his aunt or his uncle or his pastor or whoever it is. It won't rile him. It won't upset him. Why? He's dead.
Amen.
He doesn't care what you say about him. He doesn't care what you say about his clothes or his appearance or the way his hair was done. He doesn't care if you make fun of his religion or his church. Doesn't care if you talk bad about his family or his occupation or his house or his form of transportation. He's dead. Amen. You can walk up there and say, oh my, he drove the biggest rust bucket in town. He doesn't care. Oh my, remember the way he used to do his hair was the silliest thing you ever saw. He doesn't care. He's dead. Oh my, remember the way he used to dress and the way he used to do that. He doesn't care. In fact, he doesn't care. You know, we buy a great big expensive casket, some of them $10,000 and up above that, and we put the nicest suit that they own on. They don't care.
Right.
You know, you can bury me in a pair of bibbed overalls in a pine box, or you can cremate me. I won't care, I promise you. I won't care what you put me in.
Right.
There's something about a dead man when he's laying there. You can't tempt him with peer pressure. You can't walk up to me and say, hey, you remember what we used to do over here and what so-and-so's doing? Everybody's doing it. He doesn't care. He's dead.
Right.
You can't tempt him. You can sit rock and roll music there and play it to him 24/7. It's not going to affect him because he's dead. You could shake pornography in front of his face. You could hold cigarettes or alcohol under his nose. It's not going to affect him because he's dead.
Amen.
You could try to tempt him with drugs. You could walk every Jezebel in the city down in front of him. It's not going to bother him a bit, Brother Hoover, because he's dead. You can try to pick a doctrinal argument with him and say, well, we believe it this way and we don't understand why you believe it that way. He'll just sit there and listen to you. You can try to pick a fight, but he's not going to fight back. You can try to get into a quote war with him and quote every quote on your side that you can think of, and he'll just sit there. Why? Because he's dead.
Amen.
You can try to begin to speak all kinds of gossip, who did this in the church and who did that around the message, and he's just going to lay there and ignore you, and he's not going to go on and repeat what you said to somebody else because he's dead.
Amen.
You can talk bad about him on social media. He won't get back on there and fight back at you. He's dead. You can try to have your nicest fashions and things, but he's not worried about keeping up with the Joneses, whether it be his house or his car or his clothes. He's dead. He doesn't care. You can try to make him jealous by all the things that you have that he doesn't have. He won't get jealous. He's dead. He doesn't have any pride. Doesn't make any difference to him if he's in a tuxedo suit or a pair of overalls. Doesn't matter if he's in a new car or a rust bucket. He'll be exactly the same, whatever it is. It won't change his personality because God blesses him with a little nicer house than somebody else. Nor will it change his personality if he's in the cheapest shack in the city. Why? He's dead.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Andrew. If I leave you there, you'll fall asleep on me, so I don't want to do that. Romans chapter 6, verse 8. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now Jesus told his disciples in St. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.
Amen.
Now we hear this last part a lot. And we sing about it and we talk about it. Oh, the trials and the burdens and the weariness of being a Christian that sometimes we get made fun of, even as a message believer. You know, they call us cult members and they call me a cult pastor and they call us this and they call us that. And we all have that cross to bear. And we sing, oh, take up your cross and follow Jesus. And when it comes to some of those things, you know, we're cognizant of them. We recognize that there's a burden that goes along with this type of a walk. But we forget
hit this first part of the verse many times. Deny yourself daily. Don't just take up your cross and follow him daily, but deny yourself daily. Many times it's not the trials that get us down. It's not the trials that Satan defeats us with. Many times it's ourselves that he defeats us with. Many times it's not what somebody else said about us or what somebody at the job did or some religious or political persecution. Many times we're proud to pack that cross and we say, well, bless God, that's just part of being a Christian. But when it comes to denying yourself, and dying out to yourself, that's the part that we skim over. Oh, well, I'm taking my cross, but have you denied yourself? What good is your cross doing you if you haven't denied yourself? It's just a self-righteous cross. That, oh, look at me, look at the burdens that I'm bearing as a Christian. Oh, my, look at the trials that I have to face as a message believer. Look at what so-and-so said about me. And, oh, we put our cross on Facebook for everybody to see. Look at this, what happened to me. And we tweet about this cross and that cross and this burden that we have to bear. But can you deny yourself enough not to do that? And just to say, Lord, this is just my trial. Everybody and their mother and their uncle and their brother and their babysitter's dog walker doesn't need to know about it. I'm denying myself. You didn't give me this cross to draw attention to myself and say, look what a pitiful person I am because of my cross. You told me to deny myself. Oh, I have a right to cut my hair, some of the sisters say. Brother Ram said, but a sheep denies his rights. Amen. I have a right to do this. I have a right to do that. That's right, but you're supposed to deny your rights. Amen. To be what he wants you to be. St. Paul said, I die daily. Now, if St. Paul had to die daily, if Jesus told us to deny ourselves daily, you aren't going to make it any other way than dying daily. You'll never live a victorious life going out here and packing your cross around if you don't die daily on it. The cross is not something to bring pride and to say, oh my, look at the crosses that I had to bear this week. Oh my, there was nobody hardly that bared as many crosses as I did. But can you deny yourself? Can you deny yourself of those things that the flesh would like for you to do? Can you deny, rubbing some of the things in somebody's face when, they said this, but boy, have I got a quote to show them, and you just can't wait to get there and rub it in their face. Can you deny yourself? Oh my, I just can't wait to do this and I can't wait to do that. And oh my, we're going to go down, we're going to do this and I'm going to take this opportunity. I'm going to take that opportunity and yeah, I'm going to have to miss about a month of church, but boy, I'm sure excited to go do it. Can you deny yourself? Oh my. Romans chapter 8 verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the spirit do mortify the deeds of your body, ye shall live. Now this word mortify is a Greek word, thanato, which means put to death, to kill, to become dead, to mortify, to make die, to destroy, to render extinct by death, to be liberated from the bond of anything. By death, to be liberated by the bond of anything. Now, when you put somebody out there in the graveyard, they might have been the biggest alcoholic that you could have known. If you would have cremated them, they might have burnt for a month. But once you put them in that ground, they're not going to crave a bottle no more. It's not going to affect them anymore because they're liberated from the thing that had them bound by death. Now, you can wait till they put you out in a graveyard out here somewhere to get liberated of some of these things. Or you can come down to an altar somewhere and die out so much to yourself that those things are gone. Those things that had you bound, what is going to set you free from it? Death. You can die now or you can die later when they put you in a box. But I don't know about you. I'd rather be free now than have to wait till I'm in a box somewhere. Hey, man, there's freedom. What is it? The death. Not so much of the body, not so much of the soul or the spirit, but of this flesh that has us bound. It's not just enough to come to an altar one time and die and say, well, Lord, you know, I desire these things. I like to have these things. And, you know, I'm really tempted by these things. And I'm going to die. Paul said, that's not enough. He said, I die daily. Now, the first church age messenger had to die daily. It's not just enough for you to come down and die once, but it's got to be a daily death. A daily death. Why? Because this old guy wants to resurrect every morning. About 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 or 11 a.m., whatever time you get up, that old you begins to resurrect itself. And you begin to get out of the wrong side of the bed and everything's going wrong. You begin to pitch and kick and scream and holler. What is it? You say, oh my, I guess I never got the Holy Ghost. No, you may have got it, but the flesh began to resurrect because you weren't dying daily to it. You say, oh, I guess I never got saved. I stumbled and fell the other day. I got upset at my neighbor, or I got upset at my landlord. I guess I just lost the Holy Spirit. No, you didn't lose it. You just failed to die out to this guy enough that day. It's a daily dying. This isn't a one-time walk. It's a continual walk.
Amen.
Amen. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth, for ye are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God.
Amen.
He says in verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication and uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. This word that he uses here in this verse for mortify, it's a different Greek word, nekroō, which means to make dead, to put to death, to slay, worn out. To deprive of power, to destroy the strength of. Oh, mortify your flesh. Mortify the things that are in your flesh. What is it? That continual, daily dying. Well, boo devil. Continually, daily dying. Not just come to an altar and weep and boo-hoo once. That's good. That's a good start. Amen. We've all got to have a birth somewhere. But Brother Bram said men aren't born men, they're born babies. And that's where a lot of people stay. That's why we see so many spiritual babies around this area. They may have got a birth at some point, but they stayed there. They didn't go on further into God. They didn't continue with that daily dying. They got to an altar somewhere and wept and prayed through and accepted Jesus as their Savior. That's wonderful. Nothing against that. A lot of Baptists get that far. But a continual daily dying. A continual daily dying to where we're so dead to this guy that when somebody would come up and begin to talk to you and say something about somebody in your family and you're about ready to smack their face off, if you're dead, you won't. Somebody say something about me or the church and you're ready to roll up your sleeves and give them a fivefold ministry in the teeth. You're not dead enough yet.
Amen.
The problem is you're not dead enough yet. Amen. We go out here and if you brothers aren't careful, Satan will put some Jezebel right in front of you at Walmart or Kroger or Meijer or wherever you shop. And he'll put the most attractive woman in the shortest dress he can find. And all these sinners and bootleggers and drug addicts out there, he won't put them down their aisle. He'll put them right down your aisle. And if you're not careful, if you're not dead, you'll begin to follow them up aisle 13 and down aisle 14 and up aisle 15 and down aisle 16. Why is it? You're not dead enough yet. But Brother Ram said when a man is truly sanctified and born again, he said he turns and looks the other way. He didn't say he turns and looks the other way and then he turns back and looks again. He said he turns and looks the other way. He said that's why he had that cross hanging in his car. He said billboards and half-naked women, everything all up and down the roads. What is it? What would he say in this age?
Oh, my.
Oh my. They was in shorts and mini skirts back then, but now they just walk out with no skirt on, just their tights on. What would he say in this age? And they parade up and down at your schools and at your job. And oh my, you know, he'll put the most attractive woman he can find right in the cubicle beside you. Why didn't he put her in some, you know, drug addict's cubicle down there down the hall? Because it's you that he wants to get to.
Right.
It's you that Satan's after.
Right.
It's you. He's already got them. He doesn't have to do very much to overcome them. It's you that he's putting the temptation in front of. It's you that he's trying. Why? He wants to really see if you're just talk or if you've got the walk to follow the talk.
Amen.
How are you going to do it? Die daily.
Amen.
Brother Branham said way back in the 60s, he said, women are almost irresistible. What would he say in this age? With the spirit of prostitution on them out here walking the streets. Now they would say, oh my, I'm not a prostitute, but the desire in their heart to attract men is the same way that the prostitute gets her money from. It's a desire of attraction. And she portrays herself out there in that way. Why? To send the sons of God to hell. Oh my, getting quiet in here already, Brother Hoover. What is it? We're not dead enough. Why is it that peer pressure catches our children if we're not careful? Why is it, Brother Branham said, if a little boy or little girl, a teenager, he said, if they don't get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he said, rock and roll music catches their attention. Now, it might not be rock and roll in this age. It might be rap or country or pop or whatever. It's still the same devil under a different name. And it begins to catch their little ears and it begins to catch their attention. Why? Because they haven't died out enough yet. Brother Branham said, Satan's got a punch coming to you. And each one of you sitting here, I won't make you getting up and testify what it is because we don't want to give the devil glory. But each one of you in your heart knows what that punch is. Maybe some of you it's lust. Maybe some of you it's movies. Maybe some of you it's music. Maybe some of you, you know, the smell of alcohol almost pulls you back out to the world. Or the smell of somebody smoking a cigarette reminds you of that nicotine devil that you used to serve. Satan's got a punch coming to you somewhere. And you have to stay dead to that thing or it'll begin to rise back up in you. You say, oh, not me, Brother Nathan. I got the Holy Ghost. Well, you can still backslide with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Brother Branham said, in fact, we backslide every day. But we've got to die out to those things. Whatever that punch is that he's got coming to you, you've got to keep that thing covered up and protected by the blood of Jesus Christ. How are you going to do it, Brother Nathan? Dying daily. The Inner Veil, 1956. That's what's the matter with people today. They don't want to get shut off from the world. You want to be in contact with who's going to be the next most popular girl in California and Hollywood. And some of them married 6 and 7 times. And you make that an example. You turn on your television at night to see Mary, Susie, or whoever, that what these plays are that come on and stay home from the prayer meeting. And when wondering why you can't hold on. Stay home and keep your head in that and then wondering, why don't I have the strength to go on? Well, maybe because you had something more important to do. Instead of coming and getting prayed up and getting in an atmosphere of worship, getting in an atmosphere where demons were being cast out and people was being delivered and set free, but you had something more important to do. He says, you're not dead enough. Hey man, you can't be two living at one time. You've got to be dead to the world and alive in God, or either you're alive to the world and dead to God. Can't serve two masters at once. He says, I know that's hard preaching, brother, sister, but that's what the Bible speaks. Amen. When you've let the world creep in and intellectual faith has accepted such a thing as that and know no more about God than a rabbit knows about snowshoes. He says, you know that's the truth. I don't say that for a joke, no sir, but it's the truth. That's right, because you love the world. The Bible said he that loves the world or the things of the world, the love of God is not even in him. That's right. Amen. Oh, I know there's things that come up in life. I know all of us can't make every service. Even I don't make every service. I take a vacation. I go on preaching trips and to other churches and things. But when you begin to see a pattern in somebody's life and you recognize, my, they haven't been to a Wednesday night or a Sunday night service in about 2 years, you begin to wonder where their desires really are. Where their desires really are. You say, oh, I went to church on Sunday morning. Well, that's all right, but we have service Sunday night and Wednesday night too. I'd just like to remind you. At Sunday night, it's at 6:30, and Wednesday night, it's at 7:30. And it'll do you good. It'll do you good. It'll do better than your favorite TV show. It'll do better than your favorite sport or recreation. It'll do you good, I promise you. Amen. If you come in the right attitude with expectations of what the Holy Ghost is going to do, it could change your life. It can deliver you from something that you've been fighting for all your life. But my, you know, we come and get our Sunday morning fix and check the checkbox off the checklist. And well, I guess I'm good the next Sunday. You know, that is if there's not a good show on, or, you know, if nobody invites me back down to the lake fishing, or if the boss doesn't ask me to work a little overtime, or if I can't, you know, go work a little extra job here or there. And well, we'll see you next month or Easter or New Year's or Christmas or Mother's Day. Satan will get you in a pattern, and the more you miss church, the easier it is to miss church. Well, praise the Lord. First Peter chapter 2, verse 21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Oh my, there's something about it. It takes a dying, it takes a death. Many times it's things that, you know, it'd be easier for us to go this way. It'd be easier for us, you know, if we just walked out around this situation. Maybe it's a family situation. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe they want to confront us about what we believe. Or maybe they want to chastise us about where we go to church. And it'd be easier for us just to, you know, kind of walk around that situation. But what should we do? Go to our knees. Amen. Some things you can't just avoid forever. But you've got to go to your knees and die out to yourself so that when that situation comes up, it's not you that's talking, because you'll get yourself in a mess. You'll wind up slapping somebody in the face or giving them a piece of your mind, and a piece of your mind isn't what's going to do them any good. Amen. A piece of my mind never did anybody any good, except just made me maybe think I felt like a big shot after I got done saying it. Gave them a piece of my mind. But what they really need is the peace of his mind. The peace that only his mind, only his thoughts can bring. And my, you begin to get worked up in yourself, and oh, bless God, I'll tell them who's for, and I'll do this and I'll do that. And you give them a piece of your mind, you're just going to make them more mad and drive them further away from God and the truth than they ever was. But you get down on your knees and get so dead to where it's not Nathan Bryan or David Hoover talking to him anymore, but the Holy Spirit begins to give you what to say. When you begin to speak to that person, it'll change the situation. It'll change the atmosphere. My, a lot of you have teenagers in the house, and my, I'm not looking forward to those days, but they're creeping up on me closer and closer. And dealing with those teenagers, sometimes, you know, they're going through all kinds of emotions and ups and downs and things, and saying things that they don't mean, and getting mad and slamming the door. And if you let yourself control that situation, you'll push that child further and further away from you. But if you begin to get down on your knees and say, God, I don't know. I don't have the wisdom. I don't have the knowledge. I've done everything I can do. I've done everything I know how. I've tried to talk to him. I've tried to do this. I've tried to do that. Have you tried praying for him? Oh, yeah, I pray for him every day. Now I pray for him every night. I don't mean a now I lay me down to sleep, bless Timmy and Johnny and Jimmy. I mean really pray for him. Really get down on your knees with the burden on your heart and say, God, I need your help. I need your guidance. They're at this fragile stage where Satan's trying to sift them like wheat. I need to know what to do, Father. And you begin to pray and seek God. He can give you wisdom what to do. But it's got to be him, not you. Remember, when we have the dedications of the little children, we bring them up here and we give them back to the one that gave them. But many times we forget that, especially when they begin to get 12 and begin to talk back. We forget who we gave them back to. We're going to break out the two before and remind them where they came from. Well, sometimes that might be necessary, but most of the time it's just taking it to prayer and saying, God, I need wisdom. I need to get through to this child. I need to be able to know how to handle this situation right. You know, they're trying to every way they can to buck my authority and to run out this way and be rebellious and do these things. God, I've tried this. I've tried that. I've tried this. I've tried that. I need you to come on the scene. I need you to give me wisdom, what to say and how to discipline them and how to correct them and what I can do to get through to them, to get their attention. God, I need you to fill them with the Holy Ghost so that we'll be the same spirit, not two different spirits going the opposite direction. Amen. The problem with some parents is they don't have the Holy Ghost to begin with, so how are they going to teach the child how to get the Holy Ghost? Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." That takes dying out. Amen. Let me tell you, especially in St. Paul's case, that takes some dying out. This was a man who had been beaten. He had been striped with a whip. They had stoned him so much with rocks that they thought he was dead and just dragged his body outside of the city gate and let it lay there. They had put him in prison time after time after time. He had been in perils of water, and he had been snake bitten by poisonous snakes. He had been left at this location under this governor and that location under this king. And he was taken about from different prison to different prison, some of them worse than others. And he would sit there, maybe down in the darkest, deepest cellar and dungeon, and trying to write, and his eyes already having problems from ever since that pillar of fire smote him down on the road to Damascus there. And he said, "I write to you in big letters," because he couldn't see very good. And here he is sitting down in a dank, smelly prison, maybe water dripping, maybe mosquitoes flying all around him. Here he is in chains. And he sits there and he begins to write, and he doesn't say, "Oh, you just don't know what I'm going through, saints. Oh, if you knew what I was going through in this prison, you'd pray harder for me. Oh, if you knew what I had to face in Ephesus, you would have sent me a little bit more tithes to help me out. Oh, if you just knew, you think you're going through trials, you ought to see what I'm going through." He didn't run to Facebook and Twitter if they had it in the day. Whatever they had, whatever form of media that they were using, the newspapers or the scrolls or whatever it would be, he sits down, he gets his pen, and he says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, with much prayer and fasting for your needs." And he begins to pray, and for them, here he is in prison. Here he is destitute, Brother Lee. Here he is sick in body and beaten and bleeding, and maybe his stripes beginning to scab over, and infections beginning to set in, not knowing where they're going to take him next or what they're going to do. And he doesn't whine and complain and air all his dirty laundry out on Facebook. He says, "I'm praying for you, saints." He says, "I'm praying for you, and I appreciate your prayers for me. And I wanted to write this letter to encourage you." Here he is in prison in this situation, and he's writing them to encourage them, when he was probably the one that really needed encouraging, Brother Hoover, if anybody did. And he writes this letter: "I'm going to write and encourage the Corinthians. And then when I get done with that, I'm going to write and I'm going to encourage the Philippians. I'm going to write my preacher buddy Timothy and encourage him to keep preaching, to be instant in season and out of season, to preach and exhort and rebuke with all authority, and to not be tossed about with every wind of doctrine, but to stay with the truth that I taught him." And he begins to encourage Titus, and he begins to talk good about Epaphras, and he begins to write Philemon and to ask him to help this prisoner that he owned. He said, "Oh my, Philemon, could you work with me a little bit here? You know, you remember some of the things that I did for you. Maybe you can show some grace to this man. And my, whatever, if he owes you anything, count it to my charge." What is he doing? Here he is in probably the worst situation he's ever been in his life, and he's thinking of others, how he can help others. But many times all we can think about is, how can I help myself? How can I get a bigger this and a better that? And how can I get more of this and more of that? And how can I do this and do that? And here he is in prison. He doesn't have a salary. He only has one coat. He says, "Please bring me that before winter, if you would." Destitute, imprisoned, beaten. And he's concerned about somebody else. How could he do it? Because he died to himself. He learned whatsoever state he was in therewith to be content. What did that mean, Brother Nathan? It meant if he was the poorest guy in church or if he was the richest guy in church, it didn't really matter to him either way. He appreciated God's blessings, whether it was a cup of water or whether it was a 14-karat gold cup of water. Didn't matter to him. He just appreciated God's blessings and learned to be content whatever state he was in. Oh my, if we could learn that. Many times we look at somebody, "Oh my, look at Brother so-and-so. Look at the car they drive and the house they have. And oh my, I wish I could be like them. I wish I could have what they've got." Am I preaching to you this morning, Philip? Philip always says, "Oh my, why don't we have a house like Brother so-and-so or Sister so-and-so? Why don't we have this or why don't we have that?" I said, "You got to be content with what you got. If I ever go to Africa, I'm going to take him with me, Brother Hoover, and show him some of the houses they live in. I'm content this morning." Amen. I'm content with what God has blessed me with. If he wants to bless me with more, praise God. If he wants to take it all away from me, hey, I'll have more than I started with when I began. When I first came into this world, I didn't have any clothes or any teeth, Brother Hoover. And God's blessed me a lot further than that. Amen. So whatever he takes from me, I've got more than what I started out with. Didn't have hardly any hair. If he takes it all away from me, I'm just back to square one. I didn't lose anything. I teased Brother Trevor, you know, he's talking about his 401k, investing it in things. And he says, well, I lost, you know, $2,000 this week because of what Trump did or what Obama did or whatever, you know, up and down it goes. I said, well, you didn't really lose it. It's just numbers on a page. Unless you lost more than what you actually put in, you haven't lost anything yet. But we watch those numbers go up and down and up and down and up and down. It's just numbers on a page. You get a new politician in, or you have some great Fortune 500 company go bankrupt, it's going to change. Or you get some company to take off, it's going to go up and down and up and down. So you can sit there and watch it like a tennis match all day long, or you can just put it in God's hands and say, Lord, I've done the best I know how to do. I'm trusting you to work it all out for me. Amen. Learning to be content. We was talking to a brother at men's meeting a while back. He, you know, I won't call his name, although I guess some of the brothers will know it because the ones of you that was at men's meeting. We was talking about it. You know, he's driving a fairly new vehicle, but his last vehicle he put 400,000 miles on. So, my, if you put 400,000 miles on your vehicle, you could probably save enough to pay cash for a new one too. Be content with whatever you got. I know the brother. His personality didn't change from the $400,000 car to the 4 mile car. 400,000 mile, I mean. Didn't change his personality. He didn't walk into church the day he got it with a stuffed shirt saying, wait till you see what I got in the parking lot, Brother Hoover. Boy, am I going to show everybody up today. It didn't change. He was content with the one he had. He was content with the new one that he got that the Lord blessed him with. Oh, my God, help us to be content. Amen. Does that mean I shouldn't try to better myself, Brother Nathan? No, it's okay. It's okay to want better things for you and your family. Just don't get so obsessed with it that you lose focus on what the real thing is all about. Amen. Don't lose focus on God. Just help me to be content with what you bless me with. And if you bless me with more, praise God. And if you don't choose to bless me with anything more than what I got, and even with if you take that from me, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Job said, even though he slay me, yet I'll trust him. Jesus begins to tell us in Matthew chapter 5 a little bit about the Christian life. I want to look at some of these things. Now, he says these, and we just read over many times his words that he said up on the mountain there as he taught the people after he preaches the Beatitudes. He begins to go into this and begin to talk to us about the Christian walk. Many times we'll just read over it if we're not careful, but I want to look at this morning. Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. A lot of times my boys, they like that Old Testament law, you know, if somebody shoves them, bless God, they're going to get shoved back. If somebody hits them, bless God, they're going to get hit back. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, you know. He says, but I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. I want to tell you something this morning. As a Bryant, as a Hoover, as a Yarborough, as whatever you are, you will never be able to do this verse right here on your own. Now, you might do it self-righteously to say, hey, look what I did, but that's the pride in you doing it, not really truly from the heart. There's only one way that you can do these things that Jesus is talking about, and that's to die daily. To die daily. The only way that you could really do these things of your own natural response, and not just because, well, somebody told me, so I guess I better. The only way that you can do these things from your heart is to die daily and let him live in you. And if any man will sue thee in law, at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. We was talking about this at men's meeting the other night too. I was telling them, you know, I've had people, even around the message, borrow things from you and you never see them again. CD collections and book collections and different things, and borrow them and you never see them again. They never think twice about it or never do anything. And my, you know, the Bryant in me wants to raise up sometimes Brother Jimmy and just go confront people like that and say, how can you even call yourself a Christian and that not bother you every time you see it? But the Christ in me says, just let it go. The Lord will work it out. Give to him that asketh thee. And if anybody asks to borrow my wife's vehicle after church, the answer is no. Jerry Clower tells a story. He said,
He said he had a buddy that, you know, they was raised together and they was close buddies. And he said he was sitting there beside him one day. He said, if you had $2 million, would you give me one of them? He said, oh, my. He said, you're my best friend. You know, if I had $2 million, I'd give you one of them. He said, well, if you had two mansions that the Lord blessed you with, would you give me one of them? He said, oh, my. We've been buddies since we was little boys. You know, if I had two mansions, I'd give you one of them. He said, well, if you had two hogs, would you give me one of them? He said, oh, go on. You know I've got two hogs. That's how we are a lot of times. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Them that curse you, bless them that curse you rather. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You're never going to be able to do this on your own. Amen. There's not a chance in the world that you can do it. Now, you might say, well, bless God, I read that. I'm going to force myself to do it. But Lord, you know I don't want to. But the only way you can truly do this from your heart is when you begin to die. When the flesh and the nature of whatever you were, maybe you're of German descent, maybe you're of English descent, maybe you're Scotch-Irish like me, maybe you're Russian, whatever it would be, whatever your background, whatever your history, there's something in you. We all had it way back from Adam. We all had it way back from Noah. However far back you trace it, whatever lineage you trace it, it began to come down, and there was this nature inside of us, this human nature, that just doesn't coincide with this. It's not natural for us as human beings. You know, we want to protect ourselves, and we want what's best for number one. We're looking out for number one. Well, that's all right if you know who number one really is. We should put ourselves last. Remember, that's what Brother Branham taught us. He said, God first, family second, others, then yourself. Then yourself. Way down here at the bottom of the totem pole. But we get that flipped upside down usually. Us, and then others, and then our family, and then God. But I say unto you, love your enemies. You're never going to be able to do that from your heart and yourself unless you die out to that self. Amen. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Oh my, usually we're looking for a way that we can get even. They did this to me. They said this about my church. They said this about my family. Oh, but wait till they get a piece of me. Wait till they see how I respond. It shouldn't be you responding in the first place. You should seek him and let him respond. Let him fight your battles. Let him come on the scene and take over. Oh, my, many times at church, you know, this family gets a little friction over that family, and they're just ready to start a civil war in the church, and this side takes this side, and that side takes that side. My, if we take it to Jesus before we took it to everybody else, we'd be a lot better off. If we took it to Jesus and asked him how to handle the situation instead of rolling up our sleeves and remembering how our daddy or our granddaddy or our uncle or somebody like that would have done it, if we would remember how he would have handled it, we'd be a lot better off. Amen. I look, a lot of times people say, oh, Brother Nathan, you know, the way you do this and the way you do that. And I had a brother that I have a lot of respect for, minister brother, came by and visited one of our services a while ago. And he was just complimenting us on the way the services were ran and everything that was going on. And he said, oh, I've always wanted my church to have that type of order like that, and the song service and worship service to be the way that it is. And you know, all I can say is I had some good examples, Brother Hoover. Amen. I had some good examples to follow after. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ and the prophet that he sent us in this age. I'm trying to follow their example to the best of my ability. Right. Now, I don't claim to be perfect, Brother David. I don't always follow it just exactly like I should. Sometimes, you know, the Nathan in me or the Brian in me or whatever you want to call it, it begins to rise up a little bit. And that's when I know it's time to go back down the hall, Brother Lauren, and get myself in a room by myself and begin to die out to that. To begin to die out to that human nature that would do something contrary to the word of God. Heard about a situation here a while back, and I thought, well, I know how I'll handle that. I knew how to handle it, Brother Lee. I knew how to put a stop to it. But then I begin to think, but would God do it that way? Is that how the Lord Jesus would have done it? Is that how the prophet would have handled it? And it changed my way of thinking. Why? Because sometimes this guy begins to rise up and try to go forward without waiting and getting behind the word. That's what Eve's problem was. Eve got ahead of the word. And she said, oh my, that's right. You know, she began to reason with the serpent. That's right. That sounds good. That looks good. Oh my, that just makes good common intellectual sense. And she began to step out. And when she did, when she went with her own reasoning, she stepped out from behind the word and the protection of the word. And when she did, it caused her so much trouble that we're still feeling the troubles and the pains. And every time we hear an ambulance siren, or every time somebody dies, or every time a little child is sick, whatever it would be, it's the repercussions from that. And we want to put it all off on Adam and Eve, but what about us? How many times do we let this guy rise up and get us out from behind the word? Because I want it to be this way, and I think it should be this way. And Lord, I really, I know your word says this, but I really want to do this. Oh, God, help us to live like a dead man. If the musicians would come. St. Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm crucified. I'm dead. But yet I live. How is that? It's a paradox. Because it's not me that lives any longer. It's Christ that liveth in me. Oh, that needs to be more than just our Sunday walk and our Wednesday walk. It needs to be a life of daily dying. Dying out to self. Dying out to those things of the world. Dying out to those human desires and that human nature that would rise up and would go out and try to straighten out a situation on our own. Die out to that self. Oh, my. It's not easy. One of the hardest things you'll ever have to do. One of the greatest enemies that you have. It's not your spouse. It's not your boss. It's not the deacons. It's that guy you look at in the mirror every morning. If we can die out to him. Oh, God help us this morning. Amen. Let's sing this together this morning. Now and then, an old friend of mine I've not seen for some time. We'll stop by and ask me where I've been, what's on my mind. Oh, they wonder why I'm not drinking and still painting this old town red. I tell them I'm serving Jesus now, and that old man is dead. Oh, and the man you see before you may look a lot the same. Oh, I may wear those same clothes, have that same old name. Oh, but you're just looking on the outside. If you see a brand new man, for the old man is dead. Used to live such a wicked life, I had no hope inside. Oh, I was lost in darkness, just searching for the light. Oh, but then one night it
what the preacher said. I gave my life to Jesus. Now the old man is dead.
Oh, is that your testimony this morning?
Oh, and the man you see before you, he may look a lot the same. Oh, I may wear the same clothes, still have that same old name.
Help me sing it again together.
Oh, yes, the man you see before you may look a lot the same. I may wear those same clothes, still have that same old name.
That softly, let's just bow our heads and close our eyes. I wonder how many slip up your hand and say, Brother Nathan, what you preached this morning, I've never really truly died out to myself like I need to. There's too many times in my life I let that old nature begin to creep back in, and I begin to say things that I don't really mean, do things that embarrass me. I know they embarrass my family and they embarrass my Lord Jesus. My desire is that I would just continually just die out to myself. Die out to that nature that would be contrary to the Word of God. Die out so much that Christ could live within me to where it wouldn't be my life anymore. Wouldn't be my words anymore. Wouldn't be my opinions or my desires anymore. But it would be His life living through me. Oh my, He sees each hand. Amen. Let's just go to Him in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you see the hands of the people, Lord, all over the building. Lord, our desire this morning, I've got my hand up too, Lord. Our desire is to be more like you, Father, more of you and less of us. Lord, help us, Lord, not to be satisfied with just a Sunday walk or a Wednesday walk or just a once upon a time at an altar somewhere walk, Father. But Lord, help us. Help us to die daily like Paul said, Father. Oh, help us to stay so dead to that nature that would do anything contrary to your word, Father. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us. Lord, when things that would be unpleasing to you would raise up within us, Father, and Satan would try to lie to us and tell us we never had an experience. We never got saved. We never got the Holy Ghost. Help us to remind him, Father, it's not that we didn't have an experience many times. It's just that we didn't stay dead long enough. Oh, help us, Lord, when we find ourselves getting in that way to quickly get away to a prayer closet or an altar somewhere. Begin to die out to the things that would be contrary to your word. The things that would hinder our walk with you. The things that would be reproach or a stumbling block, Father. Help us, Lord Jesus. Lord, help us to prioritize that daily dying. Lord, help us from the time we wake up in the morning till the time we get in bed at night, Lord. Help us to be daily dying, Father. Lord, when our temper would raise up, when our pride, oh, when our arrogance, when our stubbornness, whatever it is that we deal with, Father, whatever our struggle is, when that would begin to rise up within us, Father, help us to recognize it quickly and get away somewhere to ourselves, Father, where we could pray through and say, Father, take that thing from me. I know that's not pleasing to you. I know it's contrary to your word. Please, Father, Help me to stay dead to that thing. Oh, Lord, you see the desire on the hearts of your people, Lord. Help us, Father. Lord, may it be more than a raised hand on a Sunday, Father, but may you change our lives. May you look at those raised hands, Lord, and begin to change our very desires. May you begin to change our priorities. Help us to put you first, Lord, in our life. Help us to have singleness of heart towards you, Father. Oh, grant it, Lord, we pray. We need more of you in our life, Lord. Lord, we can't uphold these things that we read this morning without you, Father, without that daily dying in our life. Lord, we need you, Jesus. We need you in our lives more than ever, Father. Lord, just take away all of the old nature of doubt and unbelief and carnality. Lord, may you just begin to create in us a new life, Father. Lord, maybe some of them has already been filled with the Holy Ghost, but maybe they've just been running on empty for so long they forgot what it was like to walk in your paths. Lord, may you give them a fresh refilling this morning. May you stir their hearts, Lord. Draw us closer, we pray. Help us, Jesus. Lord, we give our lives to you. We lay ourselves down at your altar, Father. Lord, we lay ourselves down as just weak human clay. May you just take us and mold us and remake us into your image. Take us back to the potter's house again this morning, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Help me sing this morning. I believe this is our desire. Amen. I've got the words up here. For those of you that don't know it, we'll try to teach it to you this morning. I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Lord, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
Give myself.
just worship him this morning. Lord, I give myself away so you can use me. Here I am, here I stand. Lord, my life is in your hands. Lord, I'm longing to see your desires revealed in me. Lord, I give myself away, all that I am. This other night, it's requested that we sing it again. Help me sing it this morning. Oh, let it rain, let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Oh, we Oh, we worship you this morning, Father. Oh, let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven and let it rain. Oh, let it rain. Father, open the floodgates of heaven and let it rain. Oh, let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Desire this morning. Amen. Let's stand together and sing this. Oh, it's my desire to be like Jesus. Oh, it's my desire to be
I don't know about you all, but the Holy Spirit came over there by that pew and just hovered over there. It worked me over good this morning. When he comes down and he takes the word and he takes your life and he says, this is what the word says and this is what you're living, and you realize, I am so needy, Lord. I'm so needy of you. I am so needy, Lord, just to be him this morning. Let's worship him. I am so needy, Lord. I'm so needy of you. I am so needy, Lord, to be more like you. This world.
sin. I am so needy, Lord. Make me pure within.
Heavenly Father, we just want to take time at the end of this service, Lord, to say thank you for coming down Silver Street this morning, coming down the aisles of this church and in between each and every pew and speaking to our hearts. Lord, we realize that a man can't do what we saw happen before our eyes this morning. We saw Brother Nathan standing here, but we heard the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ calling out to his bride, saying, I love you. I love you enough to correct you. I love you enough to bring the word to you and bring you in line with it. Oh God, if you hadn't done that, where would we be? If you didn't talk to us about dying out to ourselves, Lord, where would we wind up, Lord? We'd just be drifting somewhere. We'd just be lost. But Lord, we thank you this morning. We want to go from this place, Lord Jesus, different from how we came in here. We want to go more like you. We want to go forth, Lord, to live this that was preached to us this morning, Lord. It won't be easy. We understand that. But Lord, your Holy Spirit goes with us, in us, to perform, Lord, what you spoke this morning through your servant. We give you praise for it. We give you glory for it. We thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. As we go, let's sing.
I want to live the way Jesus wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love, love till there's just no more love. For I could wants me.